So much for this beautiful morning that you've given us, and this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it, and I thank you, Lord, for just all of the fine people who decided to hang out here at St. Thomas. And we know this is Memorial Day weekend, so many people are traveling, but it's good to be here. Thank you, Lord, for this mission outpost, for the ministry that they not only do here locally, but the hearts and the lives that are changed globally around the world because of their willingness to have a heart after your heart. Continue, Lord, to bless this church. Continue to do great things through the lives of the people here in this place. Open our hearts, God. Send your holy and life-giving spirit so that we can leave this place more inspired, more invigorated, and more in love with you and with each other. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank Pastor Heather. You have an awesome pastor, by the way. Yes, you do. You're blessed to have her. And you were blessed to have Pastor Sean. I know him as well. And anyway, thank you so much for the invite. I don't always get invited to many Lutheran churches because Food for the Poor is a non-denominational organization, so it's sometimes hard to get in to our churches because, of course, we have so many awesome ministries that we do as a denomination as well. So I really want to thank you for your openness and for that ecumenical spirit that you have. And you do great work here, and I know quite a bit about the church here. I had two uncles that grew up on, well, not grew up, but lived here in Groves Eel. But I have to tell you, I haven't been back for quite a while. I think I was about 8 years old the last time I showed up here. But it's good to be here with you this morning. As Heather said, my name is Pastor Kurt. I've been a parish pastor for 26 years. I've served three congregations. I currently serve a church in Pinckney called Shalom Lutheran Church. I've been there for 21 years. They're still putting up with me, and I love the people. It's a great place. They have a heart and passion for Jesus, and of course, they have a heart for missions as well. I have four children, and I'm blessed. I have a 27-year-old, a 26-year-old, a 25-year-old, and then I have a 16-year-old. And they all love Jesus, and they all have a heart for missions as well. And I got the best news yesterday. I'm going to be a grandpa. Yes, I am pumped. I'm so excited. Yes, thank you. And so I'm blessed, and I know that you're blessed as well. And so what I'd like to do is, a lot of times, you know, we can take life for granted, don't you think? We can get so caught up in the busyness that life can be sometimes that we just don't realize just how blessed we are. Or sometimes we can get caught up in the negativity that we see on maybe on TV, in the news, and it can just suck the life right out of you, and you forget to count your blessings. But there's not a person here who isn't blessed in some way, because God is in the business of blessing us. So what I'd like you to do, I do this often, because it's hard for me sometimes not to get sucked into all of that as well. So I'd like you just to close your eyes just for a minute. And I just want you to just think about how blessed you are. Like today, for example, you're alive, and you had nothing to do with it. And you're alive, and God's blessed you with another day. And you get to enjoy it all, and you get to be a blessing to somebody else as well. You woke up this morning, and I'm sure that you woke up, and maybe you went to take a shower. Maybe you did that last night, and you walked into the bathroom and you just turned on the shower and, wow, water came pouring out. And it was hot as well. You're blessed. So many people around the world do not have running water, let alone drinkable water. Then maybe this morning you were hungry and you came downstairs and you opened the refrigerator and it was like filled with all sorts of food. So much food you didn't even know what you were going to eat. Or maybe you went to the cupboard and there was food in the cupboard. And you're blessed. You could have whatever you want. And there's so many people in this world that struggle just to have basic food. We're blessed. Then you were able to get into a car and to drive here and to worship here with all these beautiful people of St. Thomas, and you got in that car and you turned it on, and here you are. So many people around the world don't have transportation, public transportation. They don't even own a car or a vehicle. We're blessed. And then you get to worship here with all these great people, people that you love and people that you care about, people that you pray for, encourage, and support. And nobody stopped you from coming here. You worship freely because we live in a great nation and there's so many men and women who have given their lives so that we can have the liberties that we have. So many people in this world live in war-torn countries where there's instability, where they're not able to get to their places of worship or stopped to be able to worship. We're blessed, God. Thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hopefully you didn't fall asleep. Aren't you blessed? Yeah, amen. We're blessed. We have so much. And that's one of the great things that Food for the Poor does. They bless people. And it's all because of our partners. In fact, Food for the Poor wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for our partners all over the country who are willing to give of their time, their talent, and their possessions in an ecumenical kind of way and share what they have so that we can continue to be a blessing to people, especially those who live on the fringe or they're marginalized or the people that sometimes we often forget about. And we're able to bless so many people. Food for the Poor has been around for 40-some years. As I mentioned earlier, it's an ecumenical organization. It was started by a Roman Catholic organization, but the primary denominations that support it are Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, and Lutherans of all strands of Lutherans. And so, it's like I said, it's an ecumenical ministry. Their primary focus is in the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico areas. And they provide a lot of different help and resources for the people that live in those regions. One of the things that they do is they provide emergency food relief. As we're worshiping here, Food for the Poor is distributing 1.5 million meals every day to those who are living in abject poverty, those who depend on those meals in order for them to survive. They also provide education. They build schools in communities. You know, when you think about it, if it wasn't for the church or the local church or even the denominational churches, people around the world wouldn't have the kind of education that is provided for them. Because very often, it's the churches, it's the religious organizations that go into communities and provide education for people. And really, when you think about it, education is one of the only real ways that people can rise above their poverty. So Food for the Poor goes there, they collaborate with local governments, and they build schools for those who are in need. They also build homes for people. Food for the Poor, in the last 40 years, has built 120,000 homes. Now, how many of you have traveled in the Caribbean or maybe Mexico? And have you gone into the inland of what some of those communities are like? Folks, many of these folks have no roofs over their heads. They live in deplorable conditions. And to be able to provide a house for a family not only changes that family's life, but it changes that community and the generations who come after them. One of the great things that Food for the Poor does, and what I like the most, is they help build sustainability. It's an accompaniment model where they go in and they collaborate with the locals and the local church leaders as well. And they not only build communities, but they build sustainability projects that will help them be able to create economic opportunities for that village and for them as well. So then they can support and sustain themselves. So Food for the Poor does a lot of great things. But what I love best about Food for the Poor is their heart for Jesus. And really, when you think about it, that was Jesus' heart, what Food for the Poor does. It really reflects the heartbeat of Jesus' ministry. All you have to do is read anything about Jesus, and you can see that he had a heart for people. Amen? He did. Especially those often who were forgotten. Or maybe those who were kicked to the curb. Those who were ostracized. Those who were living in abject poverty and in really bad situations. He was always there to encourage them, to give them hope, to heal them, but also to try to make a difference, a tangible difference. And we know what the great commandment is, don't we? I shared it with the kids. Jesus says, the greatest thing that you can do in your life is not to accumulate. The greatest thing you can do is to give things away, because that's really what love is, isn't it? We see how Jesus loved. He says, you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And then, of course, he showed us what that looks like, right? How do you love your neighbor? Throughout Jesus' ministry, it was always through acts of generosity or acts of kindness, acts of love. In fact, the Bible, one of my favorite scriptures in 1 John says this, how can you love God whom you do not even see? And you don't even love the people right before your eyes who you do see. Jesus had a passion for people. People mattered to him more than anything else. In fact, people mattered to him more than our religiosity. We just heard it in the gospel. That's what he cares about more. God cares more about how we treat each other than he does how many times we grace this place, or how much we put in the offering plate, or how many times we pray. God cares about people and how we treat one another. Jesus always went out of his way, didn't he, to show people the extension of God's love. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the feeding of the 5,000. It's more like 20,000 because they didn't include women and children in the count. But they just got done doing, I can't remember what they were doing, and there was a multitude of people there, and the disciple says, they overheard a bunch of the people grumbling and saying, Jesus, we got all these people here, and how are we going to feed them? Jesus says, don't worry about it. That little boy over there, I think, has a couple fish and loaves. So the little boy heard him, must have heard Jesus, and he comes over, and he says, Jesus, here's my lunch. All I have is a couple of fishes and a couple of loaves, but I'm going to give it to you. He gave him a little in faith. Then the story goes on to say, Jesus lifts it up, and what happened? They fed 25,000 people, plus there was an abundance left over. So again, it was an act of sharing, an act of generosity that blessed those people. Then, of course, we know that Jesus, his heart was toward the sinner. Thank God, because I'm a sinner too, just like you are. I'm simultaneously a saint and a sinner, redeemed by God's grace. So there was a tax collector who was in a tree, and Jesus was going through town, and he noticed him. He noticed Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house, and we're going to have a meal. So the story goes on to say that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. All the religious people were bent out of shape and grumbling because he was caring about somebody who nobody else gave a rip about and really wanted to care for. And it says, at the end of that story, Jesus says this. He comes out and he goes, "Woo, man, that was an unbelievable experience. I wish I was a fly on a wall for that." All we know is this. Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Now, salvation means life. It means eternal life. That's how we think of it a lot. But it means life today. So something transformed Zacchaeus in such a way that Zacchaeus said, well, I've ripped so many people off. I'm not only going to give them a little. I'm going to like give them over and above what I've stolen from them. Because see, love does that. Love transforms the human heart. And then the gospel for this morning. Love that story. As I said, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. Man, that guy could preach. Jesus could preach. That's why crowds came. And I know that was Jesus was going up to the synagogue very often in that tradition, they would chant psalms. So he was probably chanting a psalm, and I'm sure he had some of his entourage with him. And he was going, heading up to that synagogue, and he notices a woman bent over who was crippled there. And he notices all of these people were just pouring past her. And he was going, okay, there's a disconnect here. I mean, I'm going into this religious place with a bunch of religious people, and I know they know about God, and they know that they should be helping people. Jesus doesn't say anything when he passes by that woman, but boy, I know he noticed her. He wanted to save it for the moment. He wanted to make sure that when he was up here preaching, that he had everybody's attention and they were focused on him, so then he could tell them and share with them the love of God and what that really looks like. And so he's preaching kind of like what I'm doing, although he was much better. And he's talking, all of a sudden he looks at that woman. And he says, woman, I notice you. Say that with me. I notice you. He saw her. He saw a woman who was in need. And he did something about it. And it was risky. You saw that. You heard it in the scripture. He took a risk and he got ridiculed by the religious establishment. Oh, Jesus, you're breaking all these rules to help this person. But love does that. Love compels you, doesn't it, to do something good, to do something that's going to change another human being's life, to do something that's going to bring life. And so Jesus took the bold step. He said, he noticed her, and he says, woman, you are healed. There are so many people crying out in this world to be noticed. Do you see them? You know, very often, like you, I get busy. I get busy with church stuff, and then I get busy raising my family. I get busy maybe enjoying my life as well, and I don't always notice the people who I need to notice. Do you see them? Do you see the suffering people in Haiti? Do you see the suffering people in El Salvador? Do you see the suffering people here in your own community? Do you see them? Do you see them? You have an opportunity to make a difference in this world. I think it's a great time to be the church. Amen? It is. I think it's a great time to live in this society, in this world of ours. You know, very often I hear people go, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, it's so bad. Well, we can do something about it. We are good news people. Amen? We have the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can change and transform lives through acts of love and kindness and care and compassion. And when we pool all of these resources together as the body of Christ, like Jesus says, we'll be able to do greater things than even he can do, which always blows me away. I know about you, but I'm ready to do those greater things. I want this world to be more loving and more compassionate and more caring. I want people to know that there's this God that loves them deeply, and that this God of the universe knows them intimately and personally. And very often, they get to know that God through you and through me with how we treat them. So, my ask is, there's an envelope in your bulletin. If you open it up, you can see all the beautiful things that Food for the Poor does. I know that you're doing a lot of great things already. And I know you're probably saying, oh, I don't want to give any more money than I'm already giving. And I'm fine with that. But I want to leave you with this, all right? Because I think this is really important. Like that little boy who gave a little bit of his lunch to Jesus, we can all give a little. And I mean that. A dollar, 50 cents, that's not too small of a gift. Anything. Maybe some can give more than others. But we can all do something to make a difference. That's what Jesus asks us to do. He does. And you know the cool thing about giving is that we are blessed when we give. We don't give because we have to. We don't have to give. God's still going to love you whether you give a cent to any organization or anything dealing with ministry. But Jesus talks about giving and wants us to give because it's good for the soul. It's good for life. It's good for community. It's good for for the world. So take an opportunity to look through this, and maybe you can help. I know my daughter a couple years ago at the dinner table said, "You know, Dad, I don't want anything for Christmas." I went, "Wow, that's awesome. Saved me a lot of money." And she said, "I decided instead to give a dollar a week of my allowance to Food for the Poor." My kids have all been on mission trips, and it's changed their perspective on life and how blessed they really are and how they have a responsibility to share their blessings. So for $52, and that's what it takes, you can feed a child for an entire year, somebody who has no food. And so just think of maybe how you can give a little bit. I'll be in the back to thank you for coming. And if you want to give me the envelope, that's great. Then if you want to send it to Food for the Poor, that's fine too. I just want to thank you, though, for allowing me to come here. And I think you're an awesome church, and you're doing great ministry here. And remember this, you can change the world one person at a time. Love is the only thing that can transform a human heart. And the way we do that is through acts of kindness and mercy and caring for others. Amen.
Would you please stand as you're able and join in singing?
Believe in me shall not thirst.